And welcome. Thank you so much for joining me today. This is Ellen Kamai, the Natural Nurse, and we're right here at ERN.FM for another edition of Herbally Yours and the Natural Medicine Chest and Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And Dr. Zamperon and myself, we co-host this show, so sometimes you'll hear me and sometimes you'll hear him. But either way, you can find out all the things that we're doing, both online and on the ground. And the best place to go for that is naturalnurse.com. Once you go there, you will find a very large array of completely free information, as well as classes and workshops that you might be interested in. Many of them have CE credits. CE credits are ongoing continuing education credits that certain people need for their licenses. For instance, nurses, nurse practitioners, licensed massage therapists, and RDs, who are registered dietitians, and other healthcare providers such as acupuncture. Our courses have credits for all of those professionals, and the credits are through the Florida Department of Education, and there are many other CE broker states that are linked right into the same organization. And if that's the case, we can just post those credits for you right online. If you're in a state that does not have CE broker, we send you a certificate, and no state has ever turned down our CE unit. So then you send it to your CE organization or your licensing board. In any event, you don't have to be a professional of any kind to take any of these classes. They're totally open, and a lot of people take them because they're interested in becoming an RH, which is a registered herbalist. And a registered herbalist has to accumulate a certain amount of herbal education. And if anyone's interested in that, you definitely can get in touch with me, because we teach classes and mentor people through that process. But if you just want to know about natural health for yourself and your family, we still have all kinds of information and free. For instance, if you go to naturalnurse.com and look at events, we have right now the Pain Free and Calm ongoing webinar, and that is completely free. Just go to naturalnurse.com events, and you'll see it's right on top right now because it's going on right now. And that is a beautiful webinar series that you can just sign up for, and there's no cost, and you can find out about pain, stress, mental unrest, and there's a lot of free gifts associated with that one too. For instance, Dr. Z and I have our book, which is called Supplements for Pain, as a free gift for those who sign up for the Pain Free and Calm webinar. And we also have conference coming up, and this is an online webinar that does have three CE units available. It's called Crystallization Patterns. And you know, there are so many crystallization patterns in nature. Like, you could think about a snowflake. That's one that you might be clear on. And crystallization patterns are a key factor in the interaction between the energetic essence of the self, which we'll be talking about more with our guest today, and biological systems. In this class, we explore how crystallization patterns relate specifically to herbalism and natural healing. For instance, we'll talk about water crystallization and herbal crystallization diagnostic patterns. And that is a three CEU cross for nurses, midwives, massage therapists, acupuncturists, nutritionists, for those studying for their registered herbalist, or for anyone, because anyone can take it just to learn about it for themselves. We also have a free webinar that has CE credits, and this is actually given by NYU, the NYU Rory Myers Center, as a matter of fact, and this is a webinar on hemp, THC, CBD, cannabis, and endocannabinoids. What's all the buzz? And this is free and open to all. It's coming up in February, and it has one CE hour available, but again, you don't have to need that CE to take it. And it is free, and it's being given by the Epsilon Center of Nursing at NYU. So that's another great class that you can sign up for just by going to naturalnurse.com and looking at events. And then we have our yearly 4 series, which is called the Natural Nurse Herbal Certification Course. And this is an excellent course if you're thinking of adding herbal knowledge into your life. If you do want the credits, it's an 18-credit course. And this course we give is live online through the Florida School of Holistic Living. And we are taking registration now because the first class is March 5th. And you definitely would be interested if you like anything having to do with really understanding herbal medicine. And then we also have coming up, this is back. We've been doing this class for 30 years, but we're bringing it back on the ground. This is the first time in, I think, 4 years. And this is called Echo Tours for Cures, the Education Vacation in the Island of Jamaica, where we actually travel to Jamaica. And that's coming up March 11th through 17th. And this is a big project that you come with us to Jamaica, and you will learn about hiking into the tropical rainforests and swim in majestic waterfalls and discover a part of Jamaica untouched by tourism. But we do a lot of fun shops on Caribbean ethnobotany and medicinal herbs, roots, and natural Ital food. And you do meet bush doctors who have been in that area, the north coast of Jamaica, in the maroon culture for truly centuries. And then we have fun things like fire ceremonies outside and night beach cookouts and all that kind of stuff. So this is our first year bringing this particular tradition of ours back, and we're very, very excited about that. So to see that and all the other classes, we have lots of them listed. We'll be doing our on-ground herb walk soon. We actually are doing them in Florida now, but we'll be doing them again in the colder regions once they warm up. And we do that sometimes at Bethpage Restoration Farm, where we go out and gather wild edible and medicinal plants. We do that also in Connecticut at Gilberti's Organic Herb Farm. So for that, a good thing to do would be to go to naturalnurse.com, go to the bottom of the front page, and just sign up for our newsletter. There's no cost for doing that. We send out our class announcements, and all we ask for is just your email. And then the only other thing you have to do after you put your email in is you will get a email from the site, and you have to then opt in, because we do everything legally. We don't start sending you tons of stuff. But join us. And on that site, also at naturalnurse.com, you can also link into our Facebook page, Instagram, and all those kind of things. So thank you so much for joining us today. Our guest today is Jonathan Goldman, and he is an international authority and pioneer in the field of sound healing. Is the author of numerous books, including The 7 Secrets of Sound Healing and the best-selling book called The Humming Effect, which he co-authored with his wife, Andy Goldman. And that won the 2018 Gold Visionary Award for Health Books. His classic Healing Sound has just had a special 30th edition, anniversary edition released. And Jonathan is the director of the Sound Healing Association and president of Spirit Music, which is located in Boulder, Colorado. He's also a Grammy nominee and has created over 25 best-selling award-winning recordings, including Chakra Chants, The Divine Name, Frequencies, Sound of Healing, and Reiki, however they pronounce that, usually Reiki chants. Jonathan has been named as one of the Watkins Mind, Body, Spirit magazine's 100 most spiritually influential living people. And the best place to find all things Jonathan is at healingsounds.com. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Ellen, it is a blessing and a pleasure to be talking to you. How are you?
I'm great. I'm in Florida. It's absolutely gorgeous here. And I like warm weather. So one of the things I do to follow my bliss is I live in different places at different times of the year. And of course, now that's one, I think that's almost one positive effect of that lockdown that we had, as horrible as it was. I think it made everybody sort of more mobile and interactive internationally.
Yes, talking about the lockdown, I was thinking Richard Attenborough, I believe, has a TV show, I think it's on Netflix or something like that, which is like talking about the changes that occurred in nature in that brief time when humans were a little less active on the planet in terms of everything from carbon emission, et cetera, and things began to restore themselves. It was quite amazing.
Yeah, I saw a video on that, where they actually had pictures in China and also here in the U.S. around the San Francisco area, where within a month or so of that lockdown, so much of the pollution was gone.
My wife and I walked this, and actually we walk around, we drive, it's about a 10-minute drive from our house, to this lovely wildlife sanctuary that during that time, first of all, it's a wonderful place, but unfortunately, there's a local airport nearby, and the flight patterns of whatever have changed, and it gets buzzed by airplanes probably every 15 minutes, which is not great for the wildlife, but people don't consider sound on that level. But during the time of the lockdown, it was quiet. And that was such an extraordinary experience, as it was, shall we say, in real time before humankind's footprint didn't, take over the planet.
So, you know, that could lead to hope in other ways that we can act in a restorative manner as humans on this planet. And sound is really part of that, like you even brought up right now, because you are so tuned in to sound. So you're talking about the fact that you and your wife noticed the quiet around the airport.
Well, I'm sure also that the wildlife sanctuary that we're walking in, that all the different animals, the birds and the deer and the whatnot, also really noticed that too, because they probably get used to it, but it's really not, shall we say, a natural or the buzzing of a plane. I felt a little bit like King Kong on the Empire State Building in the old movie where the plane's going, because we hear that about every 10 to 15 minutes, sometimes more frequently than that. And that can really disturb your nervous system, among other things.
That's true. But going back in time, Jonathan, when you were a little boy, were you noticing that you were drawn to the whole field of sound?
I liked music, Ellen, a whole lot. You know, I basically started playing piano, and then when I was about 13, the Beatles came out. I gave up my piano and taught myself how to play "I Want to Hold Your Hand" on guitar, and then I had a high school band that played, and that was all sorts of wonderful things. But the actual aspect of using sound as a healing modality didn't strike me until one night later on, after I'd graduated from Boston University Film School, and I was playing in a seaside bar in Marshfield, Massachusetts, which is on Cape Cod. And I basically came out and I was playing in this band, and I looked out at the audience and I became aware that the ambiance of the club was one of negativity and violence, and no doubt the alcohol and the other intoxicants that people were imbibing in were helping induce that ambiance of negativity, anger, or whatnot. But I also realized that the music that I was creating at that time was helping induce this ambiance, and I had the thought, gee, I wonder if music can be used to make people feel good. And that thought shifted and changed in about a week to, I wonder if sound can be used to heal. But here's the thing. I've been playing professionally for over 15 years, and I'd never had that thought before. It was like the light of God struck me on stage. It was incredible. And it opened up doorways and put me on this path that now for the next, too many years, 50 years I've been following, so to speak. Well, not quite. 45 years. Ha!
Well, you know, that makes sense because one of your books called The Humming Effect actually is, and your classic book, Healing Sound, just had a re-release, and it's a special 30th anniversary edition. So 30 years ago, you were already writing about this.
Oh, sure, because, if you like, this experience happened in about 1979, 1980, which is, that's at least 40 years, almost 45, from now. And it's been my great honor to help, shall we say, introduce a lot of the public to the power of sound to heal and transform. And I'm just really grateful to be, when I have the opportunity, it's just a blessing to be able to share with people because everyone can learn to use sound for health and transformation to affect their nervous system, their heart rate, their respiration, to reduce stress, and oftentimes put them in a much better, shape to deal with life and even to heal different things. And it doesn't mean we have to be musicians or that we have to even be vocalists or anything like that. Everybody can use sound as a positive tool.
So that's, something that first people have to get aware of and maybe, change what they're listening to. Because some people may like that agitating feeling, let's say, of whatever kind of music you were playing, which was probably like heavy metal kind of music.
Right. It was actually an aspect of cross between sort of new wave and punk. And at the time, I just, was not only the vibrations or the frequencies of the sound, but also the intentionality that was put into it. And Ellen, I have to tell you that it's really my belief that any music, depending upon the time and the place and the need of the individual, can be therapeutic. We just need to understand how the music is affecting us. What is it doing to us?
Well, you are the director of Sound Healers Association, as well as being president of Spirit Music. So what is the Sound Healers Association? Who would want to know about that or join it?
Oh, my goodness. Well, that was actually an organization that I founded in 1982. And this was after, to make a long story short, after I was invited to attend a potluck dinner by this woman who had been first teaching me about sound. And the potluck dinner was a group of people who were in the New England area seriously interested in using sound for healing. They were PhD doctors and musicians and healers and well-known people at the time. And I just loved it. It was incredible. I went to this meeting and this fellow, Randall McClellan, who taught the only college-level course on healing with sound in the United States, began to read from his book called The Healing Forces of Music, and it was incredible. I thought, this is great. And I said, when's the next meeting? And I said, this is the last one. I said, why? They said, well, we just don't have time to organize and put this together. And there I was, beyond the new kid on the block. I'd taken maybe a workshop or two. I said, okay, I'm going to do it. And I literally began the organization of this, made it grow, gave it a name, because in a lot of spiritual traditions, if you name something, you give it power. So we became the Sound Healers Association. And for every month for over 10 years, we had an extraordinary speaker, a doctor, a nurse, a healer, a musician, a nutritionalist, whatever, would come and speak about sound, some aspect of sound, to a growing audience. To we got 50 to 100 people would come to these meetings, and I taped them all. And from there, I said, well, this is just too important. I created a master's degree at Lesley University. And after that, I took my master's dissertation and ultimately turned it into my first book, which was called Healing Sounds, that was released in 1992 and became a bestseller, particularly in England. But I remember opening up the Doubleday book catalog, and there Healing Sounds was right next to Deepak Chopra's book. So it was really quite a wonderful phenomena.
But it really is interesting, too, that you were able to take this concept into university training, because that gives it a lot more credibility and also can spread that message to more than just, let's say, New Age people interested in a narrow band of information.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, it's amazing to see how and where the field of sound as a healing modality has gone, and a lot of things that were actually pioneered in my book, Healing Sounds, have become more or less accepted as concepts in a lot of mainstream, aspects. And I really, really appreciate that, because when we begin to understand the concept of using sound as a healing modality, then we realize ultimately that we're not just talking about sound as an overall vibratory pattern, but that everything ultimately in life, the universe, and everything in nature is of a vibrational pattern. And this vibrational pattern can either be used to help create harmony and health in someone, or else disharmony. You yourself, working with herbs, know that on a level, all of the different herbs that you work with have a different vibrational pattern.
That's true. And we talked about a class coming up called Crystallization. And what we found with that is that when we take herbs, make an extract, and crystallize that extract, they actually have a visual pattern, which is a distinct fingerprint and is different than any other individual herb that you crystallize. So that is very true.
That is very true. And in fact, every sound that we make, whether it's our voice, our speaking now, and our voices are very different, or the sounds of different instruments, are they're as unique as our fingerprints. And we actually, with our voices, we can call them voice prints, if you like. And they are based upon a phenomena called harmonics. And harmonics, which I've, really first wrote about in Healing Sounds, are an aspect of sound in which we oftentimes think of. A lot of people have become now aware of the concept of frequency. There's a lot of talk about frequency, but the reality is that single frequencies do not actually occur in nature, and that they're actually these composite frequencies, these, if you like, geometrically, mathematically related composite sounds that are called harmonics, that create the fingerprint, the sonic fingerprint of every sound that is created, and make its own uniqueness, if you like.
Yeah, and that's a really interesting topic to delve into as well. So we're going to take a little break here. Jonathan, we're speaking today with Jonathan Goldman. Our topic is Healing Sounds, the Power of Sound to Heal and Transform. And the best place to find Jonathan is at healingsoundswithanus.com. We're going to take a little break right here so that we can listen to the Natural Medicine Chest. And when we come back, we will be continuing our discussion about the power of sound to heal and transform. We'll be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
On this edition of The Natural Medicine Chest, we'll talk about high blood pressure or hypertension.
Hypertension or high blood pressure is a disease of the Western world and a product of modern civilization. cultures that continue to adhere to an indigenous lifestyle, which includes low stress levels, a non-refined whole foods diet, as well as vigorous exercise, experience virtually no episodes of essential hypertension. It is very interesting to note that when individuals from these societies emigrate to Western countries and adopt Western habits, they too fall prey to hypertension. Naturopathic treatment of hypertension has not changed essentially in the last century. The mainstay of the treatment still relies on diet, exercise, stress reduction, lifestyle modification, with secondary support from other modalities such as hypotensive phytotherapy or herbal medicine, hydrotherapy, which is the therapeutic use of water, clinical nutrition, as well as homeopathy. We'll focus on phytotherapy in this edition of the Natural Medicine Chest.
Let's talk about Taraxacum officinalis. This is an unpopular nuisance to many homeowners trying to build that perfect lawn. However, this common weed, the dandelion, is a powerful yet safe botanical medicine for the treatment of hypertension. In a Romania study in 1974, the common dandelion was found to be as potent a diuretic as a commonly used drug called Lasix. Dandelion, however, due to its rich levels of potassium, acted against potassium ion depletion, a dangerous condition known as hypokalemia, seen as a side effect of many antihypertensive drugs which promote diuresis. The leaf of the dandelion was a more effective medicine than the root, although the root is utilized by naturopathic physicians and has a powerful liver-specific medicinal quality.
Crataegus oxycantha, also known in the vernacular as hawthorn, is a common tree in the family Rosaceae, or the rose family. Extracts of the plant in the Western literature date back far beyond the Middle Ages. Even the Chinese were privy to its usage, especially as a digestive tonic. The therapeutic principles are found in extracts from the leaves, berry-like fruits, as well as the flowers. In Europe, Crataegus is well respected for its effects at lowering blood pressure, blood lipids, reducing angina attacks, and preventing and perhaps reversing atherosclerotic deposition in arterial walls. This plant has demonstrated a remarkable safety record, but because of its powerful effects, it should not be used with certain cardiac or hypotensive drugs and should be used by a qualified practitioner of alternative medicine.
Other herbs are also helpful for hypertension, such as garlic, olive, and olive oil, and ginkgo biloba.
So if the pressures of life are making your blood boil, don't forget about these herbal medicines the next time you reach into the natural medicine.
And welcome back once more to The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Best place to find us is naturalnurse.com, where we have all kinds of classes and workshops, all of our books, and also links to listen to any of our radio shows. And our radio shows, because we do all different ones, and we do them inside radio stations, not just through a podcast. So it's interesting. They've all become also podcasts, but several of our radio shows are actually on air, regular air. You can tune them in your car radio, or if you listen to radios in the kitchen anymore, some people my age still do that. Although I am aware that many people don't. So it's also simulcast at the time that we're on live, and also archived so that they become available anytime, anywhere, which is a really amazing thing that has occurred in the future and as we move forward. And today we're happy to have as our guest Jonathan Goldman, who is an international authority and pioneer in the field of sound healing and the author of many books. I think, what is your newest book, Jonathan?
Well, the technically newest book would be, in terms of its writing, would be The Humming Effect, although the most recently re-released book is Healing Sounds.
Right. I see that's the 30th anniversary edition.
Ellen, I wonder, I was listening offline to, the wonderful information that was given, and I wondered if we could talk about the use of sound for stress reduction, relaxation, to lower heart rate, blood pressure, et cetera. Would that be permissible?
Yeah, that would be a perfect segue, since we just talked about herbs that can help do that. So let's talk about sound healing that can help so many people have that issue.
Yeah, and as I was saying, this is something that everyone can do. I'm going to just bring into consciousness our book, The Humming Effect, which deals with the simple hum that everyone can do. And my wife and I came up with writing a book, and it's actually the first professionally published book on humming, because we were looking for a sound that everyone could make, that people are so judgmental about their voices, that, you know, singing a tone or chanting a mantra even is difficult, but everybody can make a hum. And we thought, okay, let's write a book on humming. And as we delved deep into it, it was like really profoundly powerful and important. We said, how the heck are we going to get people to take humming seriously? And we looked at each other and said, hey, we need to have the first chapter of The Humming Effect focused on and dedicated to nothing more or less than peer-reviewed information on the power of self-created sounds, including the hum. And I'm just going to give you a little list of some of the, if you like, abilities of the wonderful hum to affect us, and then I'll talk a little bit more. But number one, you get increased oxygen in our cells. You get lowered blood pressure and heart rate, and we'll talk more about that. Increased lymphatic circulation, increased levels of melatonin, reduced levels of stress-related hormones, including cortisol, the release of endorphins, the release of oxytocin, and you get increased stimulation of the vagus nerve, and we know how that relates. And also, finally, you get the release of nitric oxide. So all of these things are just occurring through the vibration of the hum. And once again, the first one that I talked about, which is basically reducing heart rate and respiration, it's so incredible. Now, what's necessary in order when we hum is to take a nice deep breath before we do that. That's just primary with any sort of thing. And of course, even deep breathing unto itself is going to reduce our heart rate and respiration. But then when you add the element of sounding forth with a very naturally relaxed tone, the hum, in our conversational voice, now without straining the voice, a simple or wherever your vocal range is. My wife's vocal range is very different. But that creates a, if you like, vibration and resonance, which includes affecting the vagus nerve. And of course, you're aware of the importance of the vagus nerve.
Let's share with the audience. So why would that be important if it influences the vagus nerve?
Well, the vagus nerve, among other things, is really associated with the parasympathetic nervous system that, if you like, helps cut off the fight or flight response and really brings us into a state of deep relaxation. And they found that, for example, there are only really two things that can assist the vagus nerve in terms of causing, you know, increase what they call heart rate variability. And this is, number one, deep breathing, but two, humming. And by doing that, you just literally are able to affect your parasympathetic nervous system and help bring that into resonance.
So I know you talk about also, go ahead.
Yeah, would you like to add some more? Because, you know,
well, just that I know in your book, you talk about the fact that the human voice in particular versus, let's say, another instrument seems to be the most potent creator of sound frequencies. And when you couple it with intention, you actually create manifestation, and you call it visualization plus vocalization equals manifestation.
Yes, totally. I want to thank you very much for bringing that to attention, because I really want to discuss that. I first want to just suggest to our audience that there are two major ways that sound affects us. The first is called psychoacoustics, and that's where the sound goes into our ear, into our brain, affecting our nervous system, our heart rate, our respiration. That's one way. But another way is called vibroacoustics, and that's where the sound literally causes, goes into our body on a cellular level, causing a resonance of our organs. And for example, the hum or whatnot is great for a therapeutic massage of different organs as we do it. And it's actually the hum is the most powerful vibroacoustic sound that we can make, which is one of the reasons why when we hum, we get, and particularly if we hum a little bit nasally, so it's, you get 15 times the amount of nitric oxide that is normally generated, and that gets into really therapeutic levels of nitric oxide. Nitric oxide these days is greatly under study, and we love it. So these are self-created sounds. But you also mentioned intentionality, which I think is so very, very important. As you were talking about before, about the crystallization of different herbal substances and how they create all sorts of different substances, if we bring into awareness the work of Masaru Emoto, the Japanese scientist who basically took water, and he took usually distilled water, and then he would expose it to different vibrations, but also different thoughts. And he found that water that was, if you like, that received bad or less negative vibrations or negative thoughts, I hate you or something like that, would look like mud. And water that would receive positive vibrations, I love you, would look like a wonderful crystal. And, you know, then if we think about how much of our body is composed of water, then, you know, it's really, really amazing how our thoughts, and our thoughts coupled with sound, have an extraordinary ability to shift and change us on a physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual level.
It's true. And there's so much very interesting research about that, how our thoughts can really create reality. And I love Omura's work. Unfortunately, he's no longer with us, because I met with him in New York one day to talk to him about recreating his experiment, which I did. But I could not do it the same way he did it, because he had a little video and showed us how he did that work. And what he did was he had water and had people kind of project their thought processes into the water, and then he froze the water. And then he took his dark field microscope, which I also have a dark field microscope.
Oh, really?
So,
wow.
Yeah, so I thought I could duplicate that. But he actually took his microscope inside a giant freezer room. It was actually a meat hanger, you know, where they butchers have these giant rooms that they can stand in. And so he sliced those crystals in that frozen room so he could quickly catch the essence of it on the microscope, and then he took those photos. So I couldn't do that because I hated cold. That's why I'm in Florida in the winter. So I found another way. I worked with Glenn Rhine, Dr. Glenn Rhine.
I know Glenn.
And he's a good friend. And we found another way to create crystals by using copper chloride solution. So anyway, the point is, I loved Dr. Omura's work. I really think, like, when you think about how important the sound is in terms of creating reality, like you say, visualization and vocalization is manifestation. Like, if you're always telling a child, you're terrible, I hate you, which parents do, or you know, within a relationship, that's who gets so much of this negative outpouring very often versus just people in the public, and how damaging that really is versus consciously using the human voice in a proactive, potent way.
I love it. First of all, I had the pleasure of also having dining with Dr. Emoto one time, and, you know, just a lovely being. And
he pretended not to speak English. He spoke very good English. I mean, he had a translator there, but he knew everything before that.
And I love that you are attempting to recreate his work, because there certainly has been difficulty trying to recreate it, but I have no question that it's real. And I think there may have been also more elements. I really appreciate the fact that you were suggesting that it had to be done in the deep cold. And I think also the consciousness of the person who was actually doing the photograph at the time it was occurring may have influenced and had sort of a feedback loop with the result. But I think it's just very, very true. And Glenn, I haven't seen Glenn in years, but what a lovely person. So please tell him hello for me.
I will. I see him all the time.
Oh, nice.
Jonathan, there's so much that you have done as a forerunner in this whole concept of frequencies, sound, and healing. And I think that by people becoming more conscious of that, I mean, something they could do real simple, let's say, without going into all this research that you have certainly done and I have done all these years. What about just getting some of your music and playing it in your house in the background?
Well,
is that?
Thank you. Once again, a lot of my music has really won a whole lot of awards and been very, very, shall we say, popular with people who want to, reduce stress and really, have deep, deep. My music, I first and foremost created for myself. And I think I may be a highly stressed person because it's very effective and it works for me. And therefore, if it works for me, I have to think, okay, it's going to work for other people. And so I first and foremost create it for myself and try it out with other, with other people. And I try to do a little bit more in terms of combining both the scientific and the spiritual principles of sound, so that, if you like, frequency plus intent, but understanding how certain sounds are supposed to scientifically affect us, but then bringing in different spiritual traditions of different, if like, everything from mantras to, vibrational energy forms that can affect people. And, you don't have to be religious or have a belief, but that seems to be one of the keys to why a lot of people feel that my music is very, very powerful and very, very, effective. And I'm grateful for that. So that is, of course, a wonderful, wonderful way that, if we can, when I say change our listening habits, I simply mean that don't stop what you're doing if you happen to really like, certain types of music. But just as you are, if you were eating, sound is a smorgasbord of different vibrations, just begin to incorporate other types of sound, other types of music into your daily life, so that if you're looking to relax yourself, usually music that has a very fast rhythmic pace and is really, really loud and, shall we say, distractive, will not necessarily assist you in getting to a state of relaxation and stress reduction. So sound and music, use that level, is very, very important and very, very effective.
So it's something people can consciously choose. And of course, in the old days, you would have to go to your music store and find the music and purchase an album or something. But now it's actually, very, very easy to get a hold of your music. And we'll talk about that when we come back. Right now, we're going to take another station ID, and you will get to hear about some of the other wonderful shows that they have right here on our station that we broadcast from, which is PRN.LIVE. You can listen to our show live every Tuesday at 10 a.m. or find it on the archives for anything that you'd like to re-listen to or share with others. And we will be right back with more and Jonathan Goldman right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And we're back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And we're here with our illustrious guest, Jonathan Goldman. And we're talking about many of his books, such as The Humming Effect. And he just had a 30th anniversary edition released of his classic Healing Sounds. We're talking a lot about all the science and joy that he shares in that book. Now, Jonathan, here's a question that we haven't spoken about before, so I'm just wondering if you have any information about this. What about an unborn child? Because when my son, who's now going to be 48, yikes, when I was pregnant with him, someone gifted me a dulcimer. And so I used to just sit there with basically the way the dulcimer is played. It's like on your lower lap, like. So I actually wrapped it around my stomach while I was pregnant and, you know, played the dulcimer, not necessarily as a healing effect for my son, but I'll tell you, he's a very evolved being, I'll say that. So is there any research about playing music to the not yet born?
Well, in particular, there is a wonderful ENT, an otolaryngologist from France by the name of Alfred Tomatis, who did a lot of work with the power of listening, and particularly with sounds of that the baby heard in utero. So I'm going to just suggest that my very first CD was called Dolphin Dreams, and that was created for the birth of my son. And it was also designed to be used in utero. So I had done a lot of, if you like, work and understanding and research in terms of how the baby hears. And I'd just like to suggest that it seems as though the, if you like, the parts of the baby that are able to perceive sound happen somewhere around 2 to 3 months in utero. So the baby can literally perceive everything from the mother's voice to other different sounds. And it's very, very important to the degree that I know people who used to play Mozart and other types of sounds. They would put speakers on their belly. And I think one of the great things is just to play gentle, very, very soothing music. I think because the baby is in a amniotic fluids, it's a water type environment, which actually is probably the best medium to transmit sound. It's very important to just work with loving, soothing, gentle, quiet sounds. It's very interesting. This is just an off thought that there are sometimes photos of babies in utero that are done ultrasonically, and it almost looks like the fetus is like holding its little hands over its ears, trying to block the sound of the ultrasound. So, I mean, this is just something to contemplate, the fact that we need to be very loving, protective, and aware of the sound. That sound is a very, very powerful technology, and the first and most important sound that the baby in utero will hear is the sound of the mother's voice. So you did wonderful.
Yeah, it was just, I didn't do it purposely. I just happened to be playing it and he was there, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But if people visit healingsounds.com, what are they going to find?
They're going to find an entire new world, because it is an award-winning website that is really designed to really help bring awareness of sound and music as healing and transformational modalities to the public. And we have a lot of free downloads that people can do, a lot of articles, a lot of blogs, lots of different, also if people are looking for tools for transformation, we have everything, including, for example, tuning forks that when you use them together, and here I'll just do a little Isn't that relaxing? And imagine if we were listening to that just in real time, holding them just a couple of inches from our ears. Those type of things also cause almost instantaneous reduction of heart rate and respiration. So tuning forks, for example, my music. And just talking about my music, if people do things like Spotify or Amazon or iTunes, all of my 25 albums are there. And one of the most popular is called... a popular piece, and people just want to sample one piece. And if I'd had the ability, I would have been, certainly played it right now, but it's called Convergence. And we have hundreds of thousands of downloads every month, maybe going into the millions of this particular piece of music. So if people want to sample a little of Jonathan Goldman, just sample the 5-minute track Convergence, which is something that features my dear, dear friend Sarah Benson, who passed on, but she was my great teacher, and a lot of other people. So I just share that as a thought, as well as so much. You know, it depends upon the purpose that you have, the need for the music, because all of them will help, you know, induce states of relaxation, help you sleep, etc. Dolphin Dreams, the one that I created for my son's birth, is also something my wife and I continuously use just to have on in the background if we want to create a nice sonic environment that is full of deep stress reduction. So that's just another example.
Well, thank you for sharing that. What about, and I think you have an upcoming event, actually.
Yes, this is, just something that this is now our 21st World Sound Healing Day. And this basically is a day, it's Valentine's Day, February 14th, when tens of thousands of people throughout our planet send a sonic Valentine encoded with the energy of love and compassion to the Gaia Matrix, our Earth Mother. And this basically came as the idea of I received in meditation, if you like, that I had been working and helped to bring the awareness of sound to heal us on a personal level. Now it was in time to incorporate using sound for planetary healing. And the idea behind this simply is that there's now a lot of research from, for example, the Global Consciousness Project out of Princeton University, and organizations such as HeartMath, where collectively there can be a collective consciousness that can literally interface with the consciousness of what seems to be our planet. This is a very old thought that the planet itself, that the Gaia, is called Gaia as a name, and it literally has a coherent collective consciousness, a field of consciousness, and that humans can interface with it, and that we can shift and change it. Because I think that right now we're facing some powerful challenges on our planet. And the greatest thing that we can do is to somehow shift and change the vibrational level of a lot of people and bring in more compassion and understanding. If we realize, as quantum physics has told us and the ancient mystics have told us, that we are ultimately all one, that we are resonating and vibrating together, and we're not really separated by time and play and space, then ultimately it's really, really important for us to be not angry, greedy, or competitive, but kind and compassionate and understanding with each other. You know, I like
to
say
that's a tall order in terms of where humans' consciousness tends to be.
It is, but you know, every little bit helps. And also, there's a phenomenon called the Maharishi effect that was basically studied by scientists, who found that when a small number of people, and this can be the number literally is the square root of 1% of the population, when they meditate and they work with, you know, positive sounds together, for example, that the violent activities in neighboring places, if it's coalesced in a certain place, will really decrease. And this then is what if people throughout the world were to basically send positive vibrations to the planet? Would it create shift and change? And the indications are that yes. Now, it may not be that everybody's going to all of a sudden go, hey, I'm going to stop being such a nasty so-and-so, but just a little bit of a shift and change might make all the difference in the world.
Well, thank you. And with that thought, thank you so much, Jonathan Goldman at HealingSounds.com, author, person who's done so much positive work in the world. Thank you so much for being our guest today, right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And thank you, listeners, for joining us once again for another show right here on Progressive Radio Voices. You can always find us at prn.live. And in terms of Dr. Zamperon and myself, you can always find all our shenanigans and lots of free stuff as well at naturalnurse.com. So you can contact us there. So until next time, this is Ellen Kamai, the Natural Nurse, hoping that you stay healthy.